Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have a Millennial Music Chat with Alyssa Bonagura.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition of Millennial Money Lifestyle Thursday, as today we continue our Nashville sessions. Alyssa Bonagura is one of those creative types who's not only a stellar singer-songwriter, but she also designed and created her own CD cover that I happen to be holding in my hands right now. It's really cool. This Nashville native, she grew up on the road with her parents who happened to be great singers in their own right. She writes about her life and adventures in her new album, Road Less Traveled. We sat down with Alyssa Bonagura a few weeks ago in Nashville as we talked about growing up on a tour bus, having Steven Tyler record one of her songs, and receiving her diploma from a Beatle. Don't forget to check out our website for her latest video and links to her music. So I love the title of your new album, Road Less Travel. Talk about this album and what made you, you know, kind of want to make this album right now.
I made Road Less Traveled about 2 years ago now. And the reason I made the record was I actually wrote the title song in the studio when we went into cut. I had like 9 songs I wanted to cut. And I started playing this tune, and Mark Tatia, who I made the record with, he was like, "What song is that?" I was like, "I don't know, I was just making it up." And he's like, "You need to finish that." So I remember I went home that night, and I wrote the whole song about kind of what was going on in my life at the time. And at the time, I was, you know, working with people, and they were trying to push me in one direction, and I didn't think that that was really me. And so I ended up leaving kind of everything that I was doing and decided to go down the road less traveled and follow my own instincts and my own heart. And so that's what I wrote that song about. And then when we finished the record, I was like, I'm going to call the record Road Less Traveled, because that's what all these songs are. They're just about finding myself and listening to myself. Because I think before you get a team around you, you've got to know who you are first.
Yeah.
You know, they can tell you who you could be all day, but you really need to know who you want to be before you start working with anybody. So it was really good for my soul and good for my team as well.
Right. And you've spent a little bit of time on the road too with your parents. Talk about your parents and growing up on the road with them.
Yeah. So my parents started a band called Bailey and the Boys. They were on RCA Records in like the late 80s, early 90s. And I was born when they had a top 10 single, their first top 10 hit. So it was radio tour. I was the bus baby. I was on a bus for 200 dates of the year. And I loved it. I'm the only child. And they're incredible human beings. They're still together after 36 years this year.
Wow.
Of being married. And they're amazing. They've always just supported me in everything I've done. And I've learned a lot from them and learned a lot about the ups and downs of the music business. So now it's cool that I'm in it. I'm carrying the torch now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I saw on your website too that a lot of pictures, and you have a lot of pictures of some nice famous people too.
Yeah.
Even as a kid though, right?
Yeah.
And there's like a couple Beatles I might have saw.
Yeah.
Website. Talk about some being on the road as a kid. What was that like? I mean, that's not exactly
normal.
Yeah, totally. My life on the road. I never had like the same friends, because I would go to a different city every day. So I'd make new friends at the festival or the fair, and then I would move on.
Right.
And then I'd be like, okay, bye Timmy. I'll never see you again ever, you know?
Right.
But it was fun, cause I always got free passes to the rides at the festival.
Sure, yeah.
So I was the talents kid, but, it was amazing. I mean, that's the best form of education you can give a child is learning to adapt. And I grew up around, 8 guys on the bus and my mom. And so it was, my mom and dad are so humble. And so they really taught me how to be that way. And taught me that, the people who you meet on the way up are the people who you meet on the way down. So you have to make sure you are grateful and thankful and nice to everybody, because you've got to. Everybody can help each other in the music business,
Right.
So it was really amazing. And then I went to, I went to school, obviously, because in country music, you kind of tour on the weekends. So I got to go to school, be a normal kid, and then on the weekends I'd go out. And then I remember, in second grade, my teacher was called my mom and was like, "Kathy, we have a problem. Your daughter is lying in school." And my mom was like, "Okay." And she's like, "I need you to come in." So my mom comes in, and we had written this book about a normal weekend for Alyssa. And my weekend was, I got on the bus. I went to New Jersey. I played a festival with my mom. I got to sing a song in the middle of her set, which is what I did every night, because I wanted to be just like her. And I met Bonnie Raitt, because Bonnie Raitt was playing the same festival. And then I went to my cousin's house, because they all live in New Jersey, and then I came home. And I remember my second grade teacher was like, this is not okay for her to be telling these lies to all these kids. And my mom was like, "That's actually my life." So
right.
It was just people
right.
didn't get it, but
right.
I just thought it was normal. But
right.
I grew up around all Reba McEntire and Vince Gill, and Vince and my parents are really good friends. And everybody's just so amazing in country music, and they still remember me, and they're still nice. So
right.
Yeah,
right.
It's just, we're all normal,
right.
So it's just funny growing up around that life.
Yeah.
Right. Well, speaking of Beatles though, Tim, you spent a little time in Liverpool at Paul McCartney's school. How did you decide to go there, and what was that like?
So when I was in high school, my dad, he started collecting all this like studio gear. And we turned our attic into this really cool studio. And I just kind of became obsessed with recording. And he gave me like this first, the first thing I had was like an 8-track recorder, like to mini disc thing. And I learned how to like layer all my harmony parts. And my parents were a harmony band, so I think that's how I just was like a sponge. I just learned all their, how to do all that. And so when I, they were like, you know, where are you thinking about going to college? Like, you should really go, because we didn't, we never finished college, and you should go, you know? And I was like, I don't really want to go to college. I mean, I just wanted to do music. And so I looked into Berkeley and all these other places. And one night I was at this party, this Christmas party with our friends, and Ray Kennedy's wife, Siobhan Kennedy, is from Liverpool. And we were just, you know, hanging out. And she was like, all right, mates, where do you go to college? And I was like, you know, Siobhan, I don't know. You know, and she goes, have you heard about the Paul McCartney School? And I was like, what? There's a Paul McCartney School? And she said, yeah, it's like a conservatory all for, you know, music and dance and management and sound technology. And I was like, okay, that's the only place I'm applying. So I went, the next morning I went online and I looked up the Paul McCartney Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts. And they were coming to Austin to audition. So I applied and I was like, all right, if I get in, I'm going to go. If I don't get in, I'm just going to do music 24/7 and just, you know, go for it. And I got in with a scholarship sent from Sennheiser. So God had plans for me to be there. But yeah, while I was there, you know, every year Paul hands out the diplomas. So it's kind of like an incentive to be there for 3 years. Like, this is going to be hard, but you'll get your diploma from Paul if you graduate it. So I got to meet him. But while I was there, I met this guy named Pete Wiley from the Mighty Wah. And he's like this Liverpool rock star. And I was playing this dive bar, which is still like one of my favorite bars in Liverpool, called Zanzibar. And it's like, you know, just like reeks of like beer. And it's like super cool old dingy club. So I'm playing my acoustic guitar there. And this guy comes up to me after and he's like, mate, do you want to join me band? And I was like, who are you? You know? And he's like, my name's Pete Wiley and I'm a Liverpool rock star. And he's like, and I need a guitar player and a singer just like you. And I was like, okay. So I went to his house and I met him the next day and I joined his band. And the first show we played was opening for The Who at this, at Knowsley Hall Music Festival. Right. And then the next show we played after that was opening for Ringo Starr at the Capital of Culture event in 2008. Yeah.
Right.
So pretty crazy, yeah, man. Right. So I got to meet Ringo, and he signed my guitar, and he's awesome. So I got to meet both the Beatles.
What? So was it inevitable that you were going to come into the family business, if you will?
I think so. I mean, I've just known since I was a child what I wanted to do, you know? Yeah. I mean, I used to watch my mom get ready on the bus and do her makeup in the bus bathroom and listen to her sing, and I just wanted to do that. I love music. It's my whole soul. It's my whole heart and soul. So yeah, I think it was inevitable. They didn't want me to. They were like, "Don't do it. It's crazy," but it was inevitable.
So everybody always talks about, you know, kind of the glitz and glamour of being a musician and songwriter. What are the hardest parts, especially about being a female musician?
Oh my God, all of it's really hard. I mean, the hardest is just like getting kicked down all the time and having to pick yourself back up and your drive, you know, and you really have to love it, because if you don't love it, then it's too grueling, you know, but I mean, it's long hours. I mean, like, I work every day, and it's not like a 9-to-5 job,
right.
You know, I work from 8 a.m. in the morning until, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock at night if I'm in the studio. And I think you just have to believe in yourself and love it that much to do it. So that's the hardest part. And it's really, I mean, it's glitz and glamour, but it's actually not. You know, I mean, like, it's like, I mean, it is, you know, and I feel really lucky. But I think what people don't understand is they see one thing. Like, you were looking at my, you know, we were looking at my CD cover, and I'm dressed up in my workout gear today. But, you know, I mean, like, on my days off, you got to treat yourself like an athlete. I go to the gym, I drink green juice. I'm like, you know, and then when I have to be on, I have to be on. And so it's really important to just kind of treat it like a job, you know, it is a job. It's hard.
Right. I mean, it's your own small business, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're always networking, you're always meeting people. But you have to, I mean, the hardest part is just believing in yourself, you know, and knowing that you you have something that can better the world in a way, because that's why we do music anyway, is to just get lost for a minute and, you know, kind of escape. So, you know, I've never been in it for any other reason other than that, just to, like, better someone's life, you know.
Right. Outside of your parents, who were you listening to as a kid that you were like, oh, I want to do that?
Oh, man, Joni Mitchell was a huge influence of mine. This is funny, but Dashboard Confessional. Like, I learned how to play guitar by listening to their music. I just loved his stories and his tunings. And John Mayer is a huge influence of mine. Dolly Parton. Who else? Oh, my gosh. The radio. I listened to the radio growing up. I mean, like, country radio, Shania Twain, Joni Messina. Yeah. And then, you know, pop radio, Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC. I was obsessed with NSYNC as a kid. But I loved pop music. I loved the way that songs are written in pop and country music. I mean, a hit's a hit, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Timeless.
Right.
The Beatles, obviously. Right. I mean, Paul McCartney was, like, one of my biggest influences. But,
I've heard of them.
I think they're going to do good.
I think so.
But I have a lot of different influences. I mean, my parents listen to everything, you know, not just country, which is, I think, it's, I mean, a lot of country influences from other things too, you know, so country music is really cool because it's just a story, you know, so that's kind of how I learned to write, was listening to my parents and country music.
Right.
The radio.
Right. So you have your album, or just on the album, the song Rebel, you have a video for that.
Video.
How did you, tell us about the video and how did you come up with the concept and everything?
The video for Rebel came because the whole song was a prayer for myself. I mean, I remember the day I wrote it, I was going through some really tough stuff with everything that was going on in my life, and I just sat at the piano and you know, wherever the song comes from, I think it comes from God, but whatever you believe in, I think it just kind of came through me and was my prayer for that part of what I was going through. And when I finished it, I remember I met this guy named Dallas Wilson through a friend of mine. And Dallas is the son of Lonnie Wilson, who's a drummer in town. And I think he played on some of my parents' stuff. And so it was kind of funny. So we started bonding over that. And then Dallas showed me all these wedding videos that he'd been working on, and his wedding, like, he's got, like, this whole wedding film industry that's amazing, and, like, his eye is brilliant for, like, how he captures things on film. So I called him, and I was like, Dallas, I want to do a video, but I want it to be really me, so can we do it, like, in my backyard next to, like, the horses I grew up next to? Like, Franklin, Tennessee is where I grew up when I wasn't on the road, so I would go out and sit on the fence there, and just, like, whenever I needed to, like, zone out and meditate, I'd, like, go to the fence, and I'd sit on the fence, just look out into, you know, land. So I wanted it to be that feeling, and because that's what that song's about, is just coming back to yourself and realizing who you are, and that we're all humans, you know?
Right.
We forget that when we're trying to be, like, super women, super men, you know?
Right.
Like, it's like, we're humans, and we all have no idea why we're here anyway, so we should just, like, remember that.
Right. What was it like to have your song on Steven Tyler's record, and how that happened? So your song, I make My Own Sunshine.
Yeah.
It was on his country album. How did that come up?
That was the craziest experience, the most coolest experience ever. on my 27th birthday, I was playing 3rd and Lindsley. I was doing these Alyssa and Friends nights, and I would get, like, a guest up, and that night he showed up at my show, and I wrote that song in England, because it was raining all the time in Liverpool, and then I sort of kind of wrote it as a pick-me-up for myself, and didn't do anything with it. When I moved back to Nashville after I graduated in 2009, I got a publishing deal with Rondor out in LA and was writing songs for them. They heard it and they were like, Alyssa, you've got to finish this song. And I was like, really? I just kind of wrote it for fun, you know? And they were like, no, I think we can get it on a commercial. So I finished it, and like 2 months later, it was on a Nationwide Lowe's commercial in 2012. This is like, fast forward. And then fast forward all the way to my 27th birthday, Steven Tyler shows up. I decided to play that song. And he hears it and comes up to me after the show and he's like, Alyssa, that Sunshine song, can you send that to me? And I was like, yeah. And I just thought he liked it. So I sent it to him. And then I was on tour with my other band that I'm in, called Sisterhood. We were on tour in England and I got a call from this unknown number. And it was Steven. And he was like, Alyssa, I want you to know I make My Own Sunshine for my new record. I'm out in Hawaii. We got the best ukulele player to play on it. And I can't wait for you to hear it. And I'm like, oh my God, like crying, you know, in this pub in London. And I'm like, Steven just got my song. So when I first heard it come out, I remember I was at this bar in Nashville called Bastion with all my friends, and I started crying. I was like, this is just so cool. It's so cool when a legend hears your song and does his own version of it. But, but you know, he is that song. I mean, he literally is Sunshine in a Jar. So it was so cool that he connected with it.
Right. Well, tell us about your other band, the Sisterhood.
Yeah, so the Sisterhood is a band that me and my friend Ruby Stewart formed. And we're both offspring of musical families. Her dad is Rod Stewart.
Okay.
And I met her through a couple friends of mine, my boyfriend and his band. And we just kind of became friends. And then we went, you know, I was writing a lot for other people. And so she came to the house one day. She was like, maybe you can, you know, maybe we can write some stuff together for my stuff. And so she came to the studio, and we were writing that week, and we had so much fun. And she just turned to me halfway through the week, and she was like, "We should just start a band." And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. You know, why not?" And we kind of like we really helped each other believe in ourselves again because, you know, I mean, I'm like a chick engineer, so it's like it's kind of like a weird thing. There's not many of us, and so she was like, "I think it's so cool that you do all the engineering and stuff. I think, you know, you should do your own stuff, you know," and that kind of gave me, that was like before I made Roadless Travel, and that kind of gave me a push to be like, yeah, I should, you know, I should produce my own stuff. So we've been in a band for about 2 years now, and things are really exciting for us right now.
Right.
So got some cool things coming up this year with Sisterhood.
Right. Did you learn engineering through your...
That's what I went to school for at the Palm McCartney School. Sorry, I totally forgot to mention that. But yeah, I went for sound engineering and technology, and Sennheiser gives a scholarship to one kid each year.
Gotcha.
And so that's how I learned. But that, I was there like, you know, strictly for sound engineering, and it was really fun.
Right. Well, you mentioned your CD as well too. That you designed the cover for that, and we'll show some on the website.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a really great design.
Thank
CD
you.
And stuff,
so I what's really cool is that like you start to like think about all these things in your head, you know, and when you go down the road less traveled and you've got time to like meditate and really think about what you want, come up with all these crazy ideas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how can I make tarot cards fit in a CD? And so then my boyfriend's family knows this company called Hub Folding Box. They're an incredible company, been around forever. I think they designed the first Orange Crush packaging, like back in the day. So they have this incredible design team, and I flew up there to Boston with Karen Whitford, my boyfriend's mom, and we sat down with Zane Peterson, who helped me design this entire thing. And I wanted it to be an experience for people. I'm really into astrology. Like, I want to know, like, what signs you are before I leave. I'll be like, are you an Aries? Are you a Scorpio? So I, like, I'm just really into that stuff. And so I wanted it to have all that those elements of, like, moons and stars and constellations. And so you'll see all that in packaging and tarot cards. And if you actually turn over, it's not many people know this, but if you put the cards out in four and you turn them over, it's got all the lyrics on the back, but there's a picture of a hand that makes a picture of my hand on the back.
Right.
So it's really cool.
Right. Is there anything you don't do?
Sleep. You're right. I don't think I've slept very much in the last 2 years, but it's fine.
Fine. So, growing up and living in Music City here, what type of music are you listening to these days? Like, who's, like, you really turn on by these days?
Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
He's unreal. I really love Maren Morris. I think she's badass. Can I say that on podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. She's awesome. I actually met her a long time ago when she was writing at Big Yellow Dog.
Yeah.
What else am I listening to? I really love the new One Republic record.
Mm.
I listened to that the other day and I like freaked out. I was like, this is really cool. I just love great songs.
Mm.
You know, that's why living here is so cool because...
Yeah.
Nashville is the hub of epic songwriters, and so you get to like listen to all these incredible stories all the time, and it makes you want to be better, you know. So I'm constantly listening to people live. My friend Paul McDonald's really awesome. I'm repping one of his hats today. He's really great. Just there's a lot of really cool music happening right now. I really like Old Dominion too, the new band. They're really awesome. Lots of new people. Brothers Osborne are amazing. I've known them since I moved back from college. They were like my first friends when I moved back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still just the sweetest people ever and the most talented in this town.
sky full of stars, me and you, and this old guitar. And I know I got some things I gotta do on my own.